Thanks, Sue. Good morning, everybody. Thanks, team. It was a bit of a rush job this morning. Yeah, Glenda was meant to be here, and unfortunately, she's at home with David. They had a long night at hospital, but we'll keep you updated with how they're going. Hey, so we're in week 12. Last week I said, oh, it's 9 or 10 or maybe 11. So if you're one of those people that like counts the weeks that we're into our sermon series, you probably know better than I am. But I'm going to say week 12 of Sermon on the Mount. And so don't come up and correct me later. Just bless you on that. So we are spending a whole few months taking ourselves through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is the sermon that you find in Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. We're still in Matthew chapter 5. So it is a bit weird, I'll admit, giving a sermon on a sermon. So I will just a few disclaimers to start with, like I did last week. I'm not a preacher. Never put my hand up to say I'm a preacher. What's going on, if you're sort of a bit new to our church, is that you probably notice there's probably like a different face almost every week up preaching or doing something. And that's because, yeah, we have really just opened it up to people within our congregation to take us through this series. So, you know what? We could probably think of it a bit more like just a large Bible study. That's probably the way I'd like to think of it this morning. I'm not really preaching. I'm just going to take you through, like I did last week, what Jesus is sort of doing in me as I read through and as I've listened through our series so far. Bit of context. Let's just go back to, I'm going to just really quickly take us through what we did last week. We had a bit of context first. So context about where this sermon sits. This is the time after, so it's Matthew chapter 5 comes after Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness. He's in the desert. That's where he gets tempted by Satan. Tells Satan where to go three times by just basically throwing scripture back in his face. And Jesus comes out of the wilderness at that point with power and authority. And at that point, starts moving around. So at the end of chapter 4, he's then moving into his ministry time. He's calling his first disciples. So he actually calls the guys Peter and a lot of his disciples, you know, from fishing with their father to come follow him. So he's in the process of calling his disciples around him. He's also walking around and preaching about the kingdom of God being near, and he's healing the sick. So he starts to actually heal sick. Miraculous things are going on wherever Jesus is moving around. And because of these things, people are really starting to notice this unusual rabbi who seems to be moving around and saying things with authority, saying that the kingdom is near, and actually performing miracles and healing the sick. So it's not just the disciples who are actually following around with him. He's getting a bit of a crowd. And there's a lot of people actually moving with him to listen to this unusual rabbi who is saying things that they haven't heard before. So Jesus clocks this. Jesus notices, we've got a bit of a crowd here. And he goes up onto a mountain to teach them. And it says at the beginning of chapter 5, and Jesus began to teach them. Thus, it's a sermon on a mountain. We don't know where the mountain is. It doesn't actually say which mountain. It's a sermon on the mount. So, and he starts. This is what we've spent the first 10 or so weeks going through one by one with a section called the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, if you've read the Bible and you've seen this many, many times, it's the, we used to say blessed. It's King James Version, right? So as I did last week, I'm just going to use the word blessed, right? So blessed. And I think it's good to actually, I just want to read them again, because as we did last week, we've been through them one at a time, and we've had some awesome people come up and actually take us through each one of those very, very slowly. But to read them in their entirety again, I want you to see how you feel when you read it and when we read it together. See how it makes you feel inside. We did this last week. He said, this is Jesus, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I don't know about you, but I've read that many, many times in my time as a Jesus follower, as a Christian, and felt, here we are with sort of, feels like another list of rules, another sort of list of instructions. And it's, you know, it's very easy to read the Beatitudes, and in fact, the entire Sermon on the Mount, and get that feeling that Jesus is being instructional to the crowds. But I think if we read it that way, we're actually looking at things very much on the surface, and we're not going deeper into what Jesus is really saying to the crowds. Because I think what Jesus is trying to do here is describe. He is describing to the crowds around him what the kingdom life is like. And because these people have turned up, right? They've got questions in their mind. The questions that they have in their mind are the same that every human being has had ever. Who am I? What does it mean to have a good life? And can I be a good person? Those sorts of questions are what are there, because they're following him. They're looking to see, is this unusual rabbi who's healing the sick and doing some pretty amazing things and talking with authority and talking about the kingdom being near, is he actually someone that I should be following? And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows his crowd. He knows exactly who he's talking to and what's going through their mind. And so he begins by teaching them, not in a set of new rules. They've had that. These people have had that all their lives. They've grown up being taught in the synagogues. They know their Old Testament. They know the rules that God has placed in Scripture. So it would be very easy to listen to this and go, another set of rules on how to live. But really, I think Jesus is describing to them, hey, this is what the kingdom life looks like. So just keep that in the back of your mind, because then it's going to really impact on the way we continue through to the next few verses. Just before we get to the next few verses, this I spoke about last week as well. This is something that we put together as a church to sort of help us to understand a little bit about what our mission here is at Coast Community Church. Follow, gather, go. Follow being your fellowship of Jesus, your discipleship under Jesus. Gathering, it's what we're doing now. But it's also what happens on a Friday night at youth. It's what happens when you get together in your home groups, your connect groups, when two or more are gathered. That's a gathering, right? We gather together to encourage each other, to equip each other, to refine each other, to sort of, you know, help each other on our journey, our faith journeys. We go. We go out on Jesus' mission into the world. That's the slightly scary place sometimes, the place that we sort of go, yeah, we might just follow and gather for a while, and we'll talk about going later. We follow, we gather, we go. Now, order-wise, yeah, you can maybe change the order of a couple of those. I want to say, though, that where we are here with Jesus, where we are here with listening to Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, we are in follow. We're in follow territory. He is asking us to follow him. He's asking the crowds that were around him at that moment in time, hey, these are the reasons why, follow me, because I want to describe what a kingdom life is like. Last week we talked about salt. So in the next verses, straight after the Beatitudes, verse 5:13, Jesus then says this, and he talks about salt, and he talks about once straight afterwards what we're going to spend our time on today, light. But salt, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And then straight after salt, he says these words. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We've got to be careful how we read and hear and listen to Jesus' words again when he talks about salt and light. Because if when you read these words about salt, you are the salt of the earth, light, you are the light of the world, it's quite easy again to say, well, he's talking about what our duty is as Christians. That he's calling us to do something, to actually fulfill our duty and go out and be like the salt and be light. And if we want to think of it just in those terms, it's pretty straightforward. Go do your duty as a Christian. Be the salt. Be light. And it's all about our external behaviors. But really, I think what Jesus is actually getting to here, if we actually go a bit deeper, he's actually talking about our identity. This is not actually a what is your duty as a Christian piece. This is more what is your identity. He's calling them the salt and the light. Okay, last week, real quick, salt, we looked at a couple of different definitions of salt. It can be a preservative, and again, if you want to read it as this is our duty as Christians to be salt in the world, we're there to preserve the good stuff, to preserve the Christian things in the world and make sure that society doesn't get rid of all this good stuff. And we've got to make sure that Christianity still has a place in the world. So we've got to be a preservative. Or salt as a cleanser. So salt, you know, salty water. You've all used it to maybe clean some cuts on knees and that sort of thing. It actually works as an antimicrobial agent. It actually kills germs. And salt can cleanse. Does that mean then we're meant to be Christians who get out in the world and actually cleanse it? Cleanse it of the stuff which is non-Christian, that is contrary to Christian. What does that mean? If we think about it in terms of those external behaviors, then it becomes a real burden. You know, we're going to always feel burdened by these words. And I don't think Jesus is at a stage talking to us now or the crowd where he wants to burden us with anything. He's inviting us into kingdom life, good life. So, as I said last week, another way to look at salt is as a fertilizer. Fertilizer was used by farmers and still is today, not as much, but back in those days, before they had actual, you know, fertilizers you can go buy down at Bunnings or in large ways, they used salt as a fertilizer on the ground. Salt would bring new richness to the ground, nutrients to the ground, and allow new life to grow from the ground. So simply by being in the world, in the newness of your identity as a follower of Christ, you are bringing new richness to the ground you walk on. It suddenly takes the burden off, doesn't it? When it's actually about your identity, you are the salt. Remember, he doesn't say, go be like salt. He says, you are the salt. And he was talking to people, the crowds at the time, let's remember, the cross hadn't happened yet. He's talking to people who have just decided, hang on, I'm going to lean in here because there's something that I really need to listen to from this unusual rabbi who's doing all these things. He's actually saying to them, you are the salt. You are. So it's about their identity even then. As I showed you last week, I don't have the book here. I've been reading a book by a guy called Graham Anderson, and this book's called Follow. And so, you know, as I've been basically preparing for last week's message and this week's message, I've been listening to podcasts and trying to get as much input as I can, listening to some other sermons, reading a couple of books. Graham says, and I just love what he says here, and he's talking about exactly this, the Sermon on the Mount. He says, Jesus is not merely dealing with the surface of life, which is your actions. He's talking about your heart. He's not talking about your duty, but your identity. So let's read the next bit. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. How does that sit with you now? Just want to just pause just for a moment. Just look over those words and see how you feel. Because you know what? Again, I'm just going to say how it's made me feel for a long time before I guess Jesus, I think, has opened these words up a little bit more for me. Is that it's made me feel like, oh, hang on, so we've got to go out and be the light of the world. That's easy. That's straightforward. You are the light of the world. But the next bit about the town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Okay, hang on. Am I hiding things? Have I got to work, do something about that? Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Okay, is that what I've been doing, Jesus? I've been putting my light under a bowl. Right, how do I change that? What do I do about that? Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Oh, where's my stand? How do I do that? How do I put my light on a stand to give light to everyone in the house? In the same way, let your light shine before others. Let it shine. I better make it shine. It's, you know, I've read it so often about what do I do? Is Jesus giving me instructions here? This is the way I've been reading it, and this is not scripture. This is me reading this previously and having these thoughts come to my head. I'm reading it this way. You must be like the light of the world. In other words, you know, I need to be like the light of the world. I need to be light. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither should you light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, you should put it on its stand and let it give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, make your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know what? You'd be forgiven, wouldn't you, for reading it that way? That it's about, what am I doing? Am I actually fulfilling my duty? Am I actually doing what Jesus, am I obeying Jesus if I'm being like the light and letting it shine and not hiding it? You know, and we think about church, right? I think we can think about church as being, oh, so Sunday mornings, and this is me again, Sunday mornings, come to church, rah, rah, it's fantastic. We've got some walls around us and it's really nice because there's a bunch of Christians and I can just be here. And the church for 2,000 years has been really good at, I think, putting little walls up and then more walls up and more walls up. And then we feel a bit guilty, don't we, that we're, oh, hang on, are we very inward focused? Where's our outward focus to the world? So if Jesus is asking me to let our light shine, are we just doing it here? How do I do it by getting out there into the world? it's tricky. It's tricky. And it becomes sometimes, I think, a bit of a burden. This is what Jesus is saying. Now, this is his scripture. And I've just emphasized some of the words that I think we need to really pay attention to. He says, you are the light of the world. You are. That word are, it's identity. He's calling out who we are. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, the next bit is the bit that, stay with me, because it's flipped a bit on the way I was always reading it. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Is he talking about Jesus? Is he actually saying, when he says do people, is he saying you guys? You wouldn't do this, would you? He's giving a description as well. Remember, he's trying to be descriptive about the kingdom life. He's not actually being instructional. He wants to describe the kingdom life. He says, well, you wouldn't, or people just wouldn't light a lamp and then stick it under a bowl. That's pretty obvious, right? Like, why would anyone do that? And the crowds are probably going, yeah, that's right. Like, that's crazy. Why would anyone do that? Light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Why would you do that? Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone. Jesus. Jesus wants to put the light on its stand and let it give light to everyone. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, if I read it this way, all of a sudden, the burden's gone. And I can actually live in my identity as light as well as salt in the world, knowing that Jesus is shining his light through me. All I've got to do is let and be. Not make and put. Does that make sense? Yeah? You with me? So in the same way, we need to let our light shine. It's not us who make the light shine. It's Jesus who makes the light shine. So we're in, once again, Jesus is saying, follow. Follow me. He's not saying, do this, do that. He's saying, come follow me. The kingdom life looks like this, and this is who you are. So, Phil's version, it's these things, isn't it? It's instructional, it's duty, it talks about our outward surface behaviors. It's sort of work. It's trying to be like salt, light, and it's doing it. Does that then make it a bit of a burden? It does to me. Jesus' version is descriptive. It's talking about the kingdom of God. It's about our identity. He's telling us who we are. It's transformative, isn't it? Because he asks us to follow. Okay, what happens when we decide to follow Jesus? We believe in Jesus, but when we actually decide to follow him, and you know what? There's a little bit of a difference. They're both important. But when we just decide to follow, Jesus promises to transform us from the inside out. So this becomes a transformative message. It talks about our state of being, who we are, and how we are. We're blessed. Another word for blessed, really, like when we just duck back a moment to the Beatitudes, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. You know, a few of us, when we've talked about the Beatitudes, said, look, don't get confused with happy. Blessed doesn't actually mean happy. A better word might actually be flourishing. Or It's really just talking about the highest state of being that humans can be in, right? To be blessed. The opposite of blessed is cursed. And we don't want to be there. So blessing, a state of being, allowing Jesus to lead. This is Jesus' version. Just come, follow. Let me lead you. It's easy if you do that. And it's not about doing, it's about identity. It's who we are, the light of the world. So we're in follow. And I wanted to just really emphasize that last week and this week, because we're going to move through the rest of the sermon. So come next week, stick around. We've got a lot more to go in the whole Sermon on the Mount. We've got a couple more chapters to go, in fact. We tend to do this as a church lately. We've been through the whole book of John in 2021 and 2022. And 2021 and 2022, as we took ourselves through John, that we subtitled that, So You May Believe. So whole book of gospel. And So You May Believe. I reckon Sermon on the Mount is So You May Follow. This is follow time. This is Jesus calling us to follow him. And you know what? Little quote. It's quite recent, actually. This is from a podcast I listened to just 3 weeks ago. From a guy called Samir Massad, who was preaching at North Point Community Church last month in April. And he said these words, and I just, you know what? It really resounded with me, with everything that's going on here at Tumby and in our community here, the building, the cafe, what's going on here during the week, and what Jesus is trying to say to us right here, right now, as a faith community, as we learn and lean in to follow him. He said, when Christians follow, and let's be true, I haven't been a great follower of Jesus. Been a pretty good believer. But, you know, I'll be honest and stick my hand up and say for a good 20 years of being a Christian, wasn't a great follower of Jesus. I'd happily turn up to home group, I'd turn up to church, I'd lead worship. What can I do for you, Jesus? I'll do anything I can in these four walls right here. That's easy. And I'll listen to the sermons and I'll believe, absolutely. But follow, that's more recent for me. When Christians follow, communities flourish. And he's not just talking about these sorts of communities. I actually think he's talking about the communities. Think of the world. And he's talking from looking back in experience as well, like back to times when Christians have decided to really follow Jesus, communities then flourish. And people get saved and people come into relationship and people get connected back to God through the fellowship of Jesus' church. So we really need to lean in to the Sermon on the Mount, because it's Jesus. It's Jesus' words. If you got one of those red letter Bibles, there's so much red. It's all red. For the next two chapters, it's red, right? These are Jesus' words, not mine. So we need to lean into them, because he's asking us to follow him. Because when Christians follow, communities flourish. We see it. We see it in what's happening in our building here. I mean, just simply, like, we've got this cafe, Better Days. Our church has a mission, and part of that mission is expressed through Coast Community Care and is expressed through our cafe out the front, and people are coming, and all of a sudden we've got a building where it's not just four walls and we're closeted in anymore. We're really starting to get merging and overlap and people flowing in and people coming out. And as we follow in those spaces, into our go spaces, wherever that is for you, your go space might be somewhere in this building, but it's probably more so out there where you work, where you play, the communities that you mix in, they're your go spaces. If we can be followers of Jesus and let our light shine, let, not make, then communities are going to flourish and we can see it, okay? That's it. So I'm just going to finish by praying for us and then hand back. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that we have these words written down in the book of Matthew and also in Luke. Your words that describe the kingdom. Your words that aren't there to set fresh burden on us, on our hearts, but your words are there to describe who we are and the life we step into if we follow you. So I want to pray for all of us this week that we make some space and time to lean in, to open our ears to you, Lord Jesus. That we listen to your voice. That we follow just gently behind you as you lead us. Because you have so much that you want to lead us into. As a church and as a community and as a world. So Lord Jesus, would you just let these things that we've spoken about this morning continue to just work in our hearts and transform us, Lord Jesus. You do the transforming from the inside. We don't need to transform ourselves. It's you that does it. As we follow, we become different. We are the salt. We are the light. And would you just let us be those things in your world? We just want to allow you to let the light shine from us. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Thanks, Sue.